Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony, I was wondering, since this is anxiety relieving, if you could carry one of these on your next airplane flight.
Yes.
And they just have... kind of smother yourself in it.
In truth, I did think of you because...
Why don't I just put my dog on my head? My dog weighs
But you could try.
Pounds.
They make sleep masks. So you could put on a sleep mask for the duration of the flight.
So I would never put on a sleep mask. I have no idea what's going to happen when I take it off. Who's going to be there? Yeah. There are aliens.
Someone standing
I am not.
How long they've been there.
Not.
Oh, hello, Mr. Kornheiser.
No, I'm not doing that.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
We are happy to be back. We haven't done this show in over a week. We've had some personnel changes. Nigel is no longer here.
Yeah.
God, that was a long time coming, huh?
No, Nigel is attending to personal stuff, and he'll be doing it all week. And it's fine. Gary Braun is here. Crystal Liz is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Claude is going to run the board, do the show. He will not do the news. Michael will do the news, but we're happy to have Claude. And let me say that what we'll do today is we will talk at great length about the Super Bowl with us, with Wilbon. We'll talk about my sort of bafflement at the halftime, which is as a result that I'm just very, very old. We will talk about the commercials, which ones I liked, which ones I did not like. And, you know, it's just not just me, everybody on the panel. And I will say again and again and again how happy I am to be back, how happy I am that and my plane rides were good. So I'm OK with that. And I'm glad that I went to the Super Bowl. But after about we had to do like 5 days of work. And most people would say after about the fourth or fifth day, you said it's ready to go home. I was ready to go home the moment I landed. I realize there's no point in me going anywhere because I'm just not good at it. Anyway,
you had to have some tea times lined up down there, didn't you?
Did play some very wonderful courses that we'll get to later in the week.
But how was your hotel?
We'll get to that later in the week.
My hotel. Just tease us. How many bathrobes?
There were, let me just say this, in the final room that I stayed in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so upgrades.
So good.
Okay.
What a tease.
Okay. And we'll get to that later.
Man.
Because we're going to do the Super Bowl today. And I'm going to do that thing that makes me incredibly obnoxious. One of those things, which is to say, this is exactly what I said would happen. Exactly what I said would happen.
I believe he
I
had
said that.
That
San Francisco was the better team. San Francisco had a spectacular record this year at 13-3. It's not just the 13-3, which became 15-3, you know, as the playoffs went on. The three games they lost on the final possession of each game, and they lost by a total of 13 points. It's a great season. They were the better team. I don't know if they were better than Baltimore. I think they were certainly as good. They lost at Baltimore to a field goal on the last play of the game. So, I mean, I think they were the better team. But the three quarterbacks they lost to during the regular season are these fellas. Lamar Jackson, who is the MVP this year. Russell Wilson, who was the second contender for MVP for about 12 weeks. And Matt Ryan, who was the MVP 3 years ago. They didn't lose to junk. They lost to really good quarterbacks. And none of them is as good as Mahomes. I mean, if you listen to this show or watch the PTI show, you saw for the last 6 or 7 weeks, if not more than that, I would look at Wilbon and I would say, you can have Lamar Jackson and you can have Deshaun Watson. Give me this guy. Give me Mahomes because he's the best.
You still feel that way?
I still feel that way. And he did not have a great game and neither did Garoppolo.
Had a heck of a quarter.
Yeah.
Heck of a half quarter.
You know what? He was good when it really mattered for him to be good. Yeah.
21-0 in the fourth quarter. Boom, boom, boom. Patrick Mahomes. This follows the same script as what they did to Houston, follows the same script as what they did to Tennessee. Honestly, I didn't know that they were going to do it. I didn't. I thought San Francisco, I don't say had the game in hand, but San Francisco was good. This San Francisco didn't lose this game. Kansas City won this game. San Francisco and Kansas City won it both on defense and offense because Jimmy Garoppolo, who hadn't thrown much in the playoffs, had a fabulous percentage. He was completing about 75 or 80%. But on a drive with 5 minutes to go in the game when they were only up 3 points, they went three and out. And Garoppolo had one batted down and one sailed. All right. And then when they had to go down the field, the last series of downs, he was 0 for 4. I mean, they called the last one in the grasp, which it was. Yeah. Which it was. So the question for me always was this, and I remember articulating this on television and on radio. if the game falls into Jimmy Garoppolo's hands at the end, can he win it? Because we know the other guy can win it. Because we've seen the other guy win it. So I thought it was a really good game. I thought it was a really good climax to a really good season, a season that was not mired in screaming about anything other than football. I mean, Wilbon screamed, but he was the only one. There were two, each guy threw two picks, and they led to points.
Yep.
They led to points. You cannot look at Mahomes and say he had a great game. He did not have a great game. When he needed to be the best player on the field, he was the best player.
Not only did
he
not have a great game, statistically anyways, Patrick Mahomes, halfway through the fourth quarter, was they did some graphic things on the broadcast that they didn't typically do that I enjoyed. One of them was keeping that updated statistical line there for Mahomes, and he was, I'm kind of making this up, but like 15 of 28 for 134 yards.
He had less, his completions for a long period of time were less than 10 yards per completion.
And he was a sub 50 rating.
Yep.
And this was in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And where I was watching the game, some thought with that second turnover that the Niners got when they were up 20-10 with about 8
over.
Minutes left, game over. And I don't know that 20 points is going to do it. I mean, that team, you knew the Chiefs could score very quickly.
Can I interrupt and ask a gambling question, which I don't know? What was the over-under number, and did the last touchdown affect it?
No, it was like 53.5.
So it was still the under.
Yeah, correct. Okay. Still the under. Now, you stayed up for the entire game.
I did.
That very last play, Mahomes is obviously just trying to kill the clock, throwing it out of bounds, but nobody was back there to guard.
That's
if it was Hardman.
Yeah, if he catches
DeMarcus
it.
Robinson,
yes,
maybe.
If
he catches it, he's going in. I agree with you. I thought the game was awesome.
And
it was
a really well-played game. There were very few penalties. In the first half, there couldn't have been five penalties.
First half was about 70 minutes.
That's why I knew I could stay up the whole way.
Yeah. And with very few exceptions, which was also nice given years past, very little call dispute. Right, like very little like, the games, they got the Tyreek Hill not catch right.
Yeah. The Damian Williams challenge. Touchdown was not going to be overturnable, but I will say
But if the Damian Williams touchdown is called no touchdown, that would not have been overturnable either.
Correct.
That was
too
close.
Correct.
That was too close.
Right. That was a call.
One penalty mattered in the first half, George Kittle, and that was a good call.
I agree.
Yeah, he did push
off. I'll tell you, there was one penalty that mattered tremendously down the stretch, and they blew it. I mean, if you're going to have review inside 2 minutes, I don't know why you can't review this, and that was on the 4th and 10, which Garoppolo ultimately was sacked on. It was a delay of game. There should have been no play. It should have been a 4th and 15.
Went to zero and a two count.
Now, maybe at 4th and 15, they punt. Maybe they play different. Maybe they go for it and convert. But I mean, not to complain. It was a great game. But I was thinking, like, what? If you can't review that, I mean, it's a clock thing. I didn't understand what happened there. But I don't think it affected the outcome.
What you said, Tone, was the whole thing. Mahomes was not great for three quarters, but his greatness eventually shone through. And you only look back on it, I think. But think of the throw. He gets mauled. He throws it all the way about 40 yards in the air to Tyreek Hill. He gets crushed as he throws it. And that is, at that point, you're thinking, okay, well, maybe there's now something. They're down 10. They get a touchdown there, and then they just start rolling. But that throw, I mean, he had not thrown the ball. To Gary's point, not only was he like 15 for 28 the longest pass he had thrown was like 20 yards.
So let me get to the two big throws. One was to Sammy Watkins and one was to Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
He underthrew both of them. They had to wait. He didn't hit anybody in stride.
He did not play well.
This was not.
He was not accurate.
Joe Montana.
No.
This was not. It was good enough to win. And that's, on a lot of levels, the mark of greatness is when you don't have your best. Like when a pitcher goes out there and he doesn't have his best stuff and he holds you to 2 runs and 6 hits and you win the game 3-2 and it's not 3-0,
right,
but it's 3-2 because he held. That's what Mahomes did.
This is what I was going to say. I don't think, for me anyway, he's only great when he needs to be. It's like a knock on someone's greatness. I mean, that's, to me, that's the point of greatness.
And I
mean,
don't
have to go out and win 59-10. They're down 20-10. They've done nothing the entire game. There's 7.5 minutes left. And he says, come on, boys.
And I would just disagree a little bit. I agree for three quarters, he was very mediocre. Aikman said that.
And then
Aikman
boom, boom, boom.
The last quarter, he got the throws done that he needed to get done.
to me, this comes down to one play in the first half, and it's the first scoring touchdown where he holds the ball and he uses his eyes to sort of be
the
like
option run.
Yeah, and it basically he's driving to the basket. But to me, that's the vision where even if he was mediocre, to use Chris's words, for three quarters, he kept you in the game. And there is another team on the other side of the ball. If you looked at the first quarter alone, there was very nervous play calling around him to try and get him settled into the game. Both teams looked like they were playing Madden out there with just a lot of very safe
pitches.
I thought
Kyle Shanahan did innovative things early, and they were working.
Yeah. But Kansas City, to Michael's point, has been slow starting the entire playoffs. I mean, not just falling behind, but also slow starting the offense, not scoring early.
So the other thing about Mahomes... he took a couple of hits running the ball. Yeah. He didn't get out of bounds. He was driven backwards by Ward. That ball popped out.
The one where he fumbles it backwards, I thought he was going to be unconscious.
So did I.
I guess he turned sideways, but oh my God. He's a big boy. You forget how big he is. I
mean, and he's not unwilling to have contact, but it's usually not stupid contact because he does go to the sideline.
And Aikman did say at some point, too, to his credit, say, golly, Mahomes taking a lot of big hits. Like, not intentionally, but
Garoppolo
not getting away from them, taking big.
The Chiefs team offensively
really
is just
good.
So you're going to have to play a full 60 minutes.
They did not have to play Baltimore to get there. Tennessee took care of Baltimore. Baltimore had statistically the best year. I wonder how they feel in Baltimore. I wonder especially how they feel when they look at Terrell Suggs getting another ring.
You mean T-Sizzle?
Yeah, I mean T-Sizzle. So the other large story.
And local boy, Kendall Fuller, putting the icing cake with the late pick.
Two interceptions, right? Good one by Bashaud Breeland.
Oh, no,
one by Kendall Fuller.
Yeah. Former Redskins, of course.
Yeah. So the other story of consequence, and it's the feel-good story, is Andy Reid. Andy Reid, I'll ask Mike about this, but I believe Andy Reid would go to the Hall of Fame anyway. He has the sixth most wins of any coach of all time. I believe he would go in. This cements it, obviously. And it is interesting to me. I remember covering Andy Reid at Philadelphia while doing Monday Night Football. And I found him to be, you know, not much to talk to. But not obnoxious in
like
the way
Belichick,
Bill Belichick.
No.
He just didn't really have much to say.
He didn't have anything to say last night.
He was always football, football, football. He's famous for after any big win or any big loss, he gives the injury report and things like that. He's very straight ahead, very tunnel vision sort of guy. Not a bad guy, not a dumb guy, just not a lot of fun to be around. He will go to the Hall of Fame now without any objection because he won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He took two different teams to the Super Bowl, and he won this one. And he's not a guy who's going to say in a year or two, I'm done. He's going to do this forever. This is what he does, Andy Reid.
Yep.
Michael, when you were in college, Andy Reid was the coach of the Eagles.
Yeah,
then,
took him
right?
to the Super Bowl.
What did they think of him in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I couldn't speak to the Philly fans, but that was before, I was saying this the other week, that was before all the questions as to his management at the end of halves,
clock
and at
management.
The end of games. But no, this was because of that connection. It was really nice to celebrate with him. I loved watching Mahomes with him at the end.
His players love him.
They do.
Yeah, it's so obvious.
Him.
His players. This
Absolutely.
Is not Jay Gruden.
No,
right.
His players love him.
Yes.
That has to matter.
That surprised me. I don't know why. I didn't have a sense of whether he was a player's coach or not. But he's
even the defensive guys, and he's an offensive guy. Even the defensive guys.
You could see when it was clear they were going to win. The guys, it looked like genuine emotion. Mahomes was like a kid at Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they were happy for
former
him.
Former players right. love right. him.
There is an element of hearing and reading that team talk about him that reminds me of Gibbs era Redskins. And Tony, you'll know this, having obviously been here and written about this, like those guys used to talk about there's an air of confidence. I think it's certainly the combination of Mahomes and Reid.
They know they're going to be better in
exactly.
the second half.
And they know that they are never going to be out of a game, and they just believe in him and what he's doing. Like, I didn't, even at 2010, late in the fourth, you didn't get any sense of like, oh, they're falling apart.
Just to make the point how remarkable it was. 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter to get, just reminded me, the score is 20-10, and Mahomes has just thrown his second interception.
Yes.
At which point, Aikman was still saying, look, they've come back. You know, they keep coming back. And I'm thinking, my kids go to bed. My one kid is rooting for the 49ers. He's elated. My other kid is rooting for the Chiefs. He's depressed. You know, they wake up this morning, and you think, well, yeah, sure, that happens to Mahomes. It's great. But at 20-10 with 12 minutes left, San Francisco has the ball.
Because, again, San Francisco is a good team, a really good team. They didn't choke. They didn't choke.
No.
No.
They got beat.
There was criticism of Shanahan for not running more.
I know.
But I don't think they choked. Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. Michael Wilbon will join us when we return. We will get his thoughts on this game. I hope he doesn't dismiss it and ask to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks. I guess my only secret hope. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the calm ad. Okay, we talk about. I've done this. I did this not last week because we weren't here last week. Mm-hmm. The week before, I'm sort of interested in this. We talk about physical fitness a lot, but there's another side to the game that's just as important, and that is mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is as important a part of his mental fitness routine as anything. He says, getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind. And if you head to calm.com/sports40, you will get 40% off a Calm premium membership. With Calm, and this is C-A-L-M, with Calm, you have access to the nature scenes that LeBron loves, like rain on leaves and so much more. It's like sleep stories and meditations. So this is obviously something you listen to. And
It
helps relax you. Oh, look, I have a relaxation tape that I use a lot before I fly.
Wait, is it a tape?
Mine is a tape in a Radio Shack tape recorder, indeed. For a limited time.
Is that D batteries? That takes the big, thick D batteries?
Double A's.
Really trending young here.
For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/sports40. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/sports40. And I need to spell that for you. calm.com/sports40.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
We're being played in by Don Stewart. This is a song called My Name, and he writes, I have a friend who I went to visit recently because his health and memory are failing, and I want to tell him goodbye before it was too late. His name is Jerry Oster. He wrote for the New York Daily News from 1970 to 1975. He also wrote a lot of books and plays and all kinds of stuff. After we'd been talking and laughing for a while, he asked me how my songwriting was going. I told him that you've been playing lots of my songs on your podcast. When I asked him if he knew who you were, the first thing he said was, I know who he is. He wrote for the New York Times. It's very, very nice. Very nice. Michael Wilbon joins us now. He is back from his travels. I am back from my travels. His travels are longer and greater than mine. Let us talk about this game. I thought it was a really good game, unimpeded by terrible calls and stupid controversies. And I wondered what you thought.
Pretty much the same thing, Tony. It was a terrific game. It had the action that we hoped for and perhaps even expected. And it had some we didn't, like Patrick Mahomes for most of the game looking...
Average?
No, less than average.
Okay.
He missed five or six throws that were just... The one that resulted in the tipped interception, it was so behind...
It was behind Tyreek Hill, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, people never take this into account when they're doing their whole week of slurping people and talking about... You know where they're gonna, what's gonna be in the pantheon of the great quarterbacks. They're like, can we just let the kid win a truly big game? First?
They did,
and he came back and did that. But for a while, man, it looked like San Francisco had his number, and he was just off.
I thought San Francisco in the fourth quarter was going to win the game. I thought they had played very well. I thought their coach had called very good offensive plays. This was not like Sean McVay. A lot of these reverses worked all the time. I thought their defense was terrific. But both you and I, and I know, I remember what I said and I remember what you said. We thought that Patrick Mahomes would be the difference, and ultimately Patrick Mahomes...
Ultimately, he was.
He was.
He was.
Because San Francisco played well.
They played terrific.
This wasn't Atlanta.
And they still gave up 31.
Yes. Well,
I mean, Mahomes had nothing for more than a half.
Yeah.
And they gave up 31. So it's like, no matter what happens with him, this is what people thought. And so, I mean, as you spin this forward, it's like, wow, what are they going to do to this kid? Now, people come up with things. They come up with answers. The great defense, the two great defenses of the 80s, with more than that, but the Bears and the Giants, you know, Bill Walsh came up with the West Coast offense to beat them because they were killing him. And so the question is, who can come up with something to beat Mahomes? Who can come up with a defense? And I don't even know if you can anymore because the rules don't allow it. But, man, if the kid could just beat you by having a great quarter, that's something. That's hard to answer.
Let me get to a couple of specific things, and this is unusual for me, as you know. I watched the whole game. I watched every single play. And early on, one of the questions I had written down is Andy Reid had gone on fourth down ten times the whole year, and he went early, and he went twice, and one of them was a sort of temptations choreographed spin move that led to a direct snap, and I just thought, wow, Andy Reid is taking chances here. I thought the other guy would have taken chances, and he could have had a field goal for 3-3. You know what I mean? I just wondered how you felt about what Andy Reid did.
I didn't think he took chances. I thought it was fourth and inches. I mean, there were plays in the field. They weren't Bill Belichick going for it on fourth and two from his own 26.
Right.
In real time, and I heard the whole thing about Andy Reid, the Kansas City Chiefs went for it fewer times on fourth down than any team in the league, 10 times. But given where the ball was in those situations, and especially the second one, I mean, you know, I thought it was a bad spot on third down. And not that it should have been a first down, but I thought it was going to be fourth and inches. They made it fourth of a yard. But he needed to go for it. I didn't think those were, like, plays that are defining in any way. The plays were successful. So Andy Reid got that right. One with the direct snap, and I guess the other one was
Mahomes on a bootleg.
Yeah. So, but I, you know, they played a sound, fairly conservative for Mahomes game.
So now I'm going to go to the other side. There was a third and two, and Shanahan declined a penalty that would have gotten third and seven. He allowed it to be third and two. The Chiefs made it. The Chiefs ultimately got a touchdown. This is after the first Garoppolo interception, about 6 minutes later or something like that. Does that play stand out in your mind at all?
Because I don't even remember it.
Okay. All right. So that's not a big deal. So let me get to a couple that were big deals. I assume you agree with me that Kittle really did push off. He really did.
Yeah, he really did. It's the kind of thing it hasn't been called in the history of the NFL. It's only called in the last 2 years.
Right.
More this year than last.
Yeah, because of the defensive interferences, they complained and complained and complained.
And that was, you know, it wound up, it could have been.
Big
what
deal.
What happened in that drive? They didn't punt the ball, did they?
They did not score in that drive.
Right.
And that was going to take them down. This was like at the end of the first
there
half.
There was 10 seconds left.
This was going to take them.
Right. That's when they hit. It was a 42-yard
play. That was at least 3 points.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, in real time, I was annoyed when it happened, and I was like, you know what? He gets his arm extended, and that's what they're calling now.
Yes. Twice he did it. And you could see it. The other play is, and I don't know about this, the touchdown that ultimately provided the winning margin, not the last touchdown, the running touchdown in the right corner pylon. I think that, what did you think? I think that goes either way.
I would have overruled it.
You would have?
I would have made it, it would have been fourth down, and he would have had to figure, that was huge.
Yes.
So when you said the game wasn't impeded by any calls, I was like, wait a minute, Tom, hold on.
Yeah. But so in other words, my opinion was, had they called that no touchdown on the field.
Fourth down, what does he do? Fourth and inches.
I think he goes.
He goes.
I think he goes.
I don't know.
Why?
Because at that point, the field goal would have tied the game.
Right. That's right, because it became 24-20, and it would have been 20-20.
I don't know. I thought that was enormous, and I thought it was not a touchdown.
So Mahomes, not only did he miss people, not only did he throw behind people, but even the really big plays to Watkins and to Hill, they had to wait. They had to wait for the ball. And yet, Mahomes, there's no question Mahomes won the game, right? There's no question.
Yeah, I guess he did. I mean, I guess he did. I don't know if there's anybody on the defense of Kansas City that you would give the MVP to.
No.
I don't think, but yeah.
The big kid who blocked a couple of throws.
Chris Jones.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Chris Jones, yeah.
I don't know. You know, I mean, I really don't. I think what happened, there were two, the last two times San Francisco got the ball. The first time when they went three and out, and I think it was their only three and out of the game to that point. And then after that, and Garoppolo moved the team pretty well, but then he went 0 for 4.
Yeah,
you know,
Garoppolo.
What'd you think?
Neither quarterback was great.
I agree.
I mean, that's the fact. I mean, look, I understand giving Mahomes the MVP. And to that point, Matthew said, Dad, Mahomes hasn't played that well. You keep saying Mahomes hasn't played that well. Would you give him the MVP? And I said, yeah, I would,
yep.
Matthew.
Yep.
Because he made the plays that he had to. By the way, he could have gotten knocked out of the game.
He took hard. That Ward hit. My God.
Well, he thought he was Lamar Jackson at a couple of points. He took some shots.
That's not like him. He doesn't do that. He goes out of bounds. And he didn't.
He was selling out.
He's lucky he was still in the game.
Let's look at this. I mean, the Kansas City team, they won that game. The San Francisco team played really well, I felt. Do you see other teams? I guess you'd have to say Baltimore. But do you look at these two and say they could be around for a while? They got young people.
No.
You don't?
Football doesn't work that way. I mean, people get hurt. Even with the game, with the NFL, Poobah making the game as hit free as they can. I'm talking about the kind of hits that change seasons. You don't have many of those anymore. Even with that, I mean, teams. Tony, we see worst to first all the time in the NFL.
Yes,
all the time,
division by division.
You know, I like before. You know, I heard people saying before the game, Mahomes is the greatest of all time. What?
Can you let people
just get to sundown?
The other guy's been to 9 and 1-6.
And
stop.
I don't. I mean, they may be, but I'm not betting on that.
Oh, I got to ask you something.
Well, the early favorites for next year's Super Bowl are the Chiefs at 7-1, Ravens at 8-1.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I
got to ask.
But to Mike's point, dudes get hurt. I mean, you know, one injury and that blows that all up.
Did you see when they introduced whoever was still alive of the 100 greatest of all time?
Yeah.
With the exception of O.J., who they did not introduce.
No.
But O.J. at least was on the list. Maybe I'm wrong. Please tell me I'm wrong.
What?
Did Johnny Unitas not make that list?
I thought he did.
Okay,
well,
good.
Look.
Please look.
I would assume he did.
Because he's got to have made that.
I mean, Rodgers and Brees did not.
Right. Brady was there, and he's got to be on it. Did you see? Did Steve Young made that list?
No, I don't. No.
No, he didn't make the list. Okay.
No.
Did you see it? What did you think of? I thought that was lovely. To all those people there. I loved it.
Oh, no, that was great. And the other thing, the commercial was, well, not the commercial, when the kid runs through everybody.
Loved it. The introduction. Loved it.
That was great.
Yes.
That was a great moment. That was great.
And that kid is like a. I read up on him. He's a football prodigy.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, he is?
Yes, yes. They talk
well,
about
they
had, him.
It's
they,
like
yeah,
the NFL
next,
had
the
like a competition
big thing.
For that. They asked you to send in video.
I thought everything about it was good. There's that moment when they bring in the people who are 100 years old.
Yes.
And even that, I'll live with that.
Feel left
100.
Out?
I'll live with it. I'll live with it.
100.
And one guy could still walk.
And the Tuskegee Airmen who.
Yes.
I mean, that was. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I get so tired of the NFL having to tie itself to God and country every single minute of every single
this
day.
This wasn't bad.
It wasn't, and I thought everything was done, was well done, and the game was great. Tony, I got to tell you, this was weird, and this happened before last Sunday's tragedy. I didn't have a team to root for. Now, I wound up sort of kind of rooting for Mahomes, but I didn't have a team to root for. The Niners I usually root for. I didn't have a team to root for, and I wasn't.
It was Kobe.
Root for me.
Kobe was over your life, right?
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, you spent a whole
yeah,
week.
Yeah, I left L.A., you know, at 7 o'clock yesterday morning to fly home to Bethesda, and I did not have the same juice for the Super Bowl that I have always had. And look, I mean, coming in, we expected, we anticipated exactly what we got, and then it delivered. So I have no feeling about the negativity about anything that happened to broadcast. I get tired of the commercials. I think the commercials are junk mostly.
I love it.
I found the only commercial I even mildly liked was a New York Life commercial.
I don't even remember
that. I think all of the rest of it's just hype and junk, and it's just a waste of my time. But that's, that has nothing to do with the game and the presentation.
I thought the game delivered.
Yeah, it delivered.
Made people feel a little bit better.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that is the case. I wonder how the game played in Los Angeles and California. I mean, it just played in terms of what people thought, because it's not the same anywhere else. I mean, Philadelphia, I'm sure, has a different emotional way about yesterday and about the last few days, but Southern California, totally different. Like nothing I've ever seen in my life, the reaction. And so I sat and watched it. I just didn't, I wasn't screaming out like I would have. And so it was an interesting day for me in that regard.
All right, I will see you later.
All right, Tom.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls, we will take a break. We will come back with news. Michael will do the news today. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
It's great when Wilbon, because I'm going into a commercial, it's great when Wilbon says all the commercials are junk.
Bring
which
the
just
hype.
Means yeah. He didn't even, yeah. He pays no attention, doesn't watch them, because about 20 of them were really
didn't realize good. There was a New York Life commercial. Right?
This is a TurboTax read. TurboTax is here to help this tax season by making tax filing easier for you. They've made it their mission to give you all the tools and advice you need to get your taxes done with confidence, like making uploading your W-2 as easy as taking a picture. Just use your phone or tablet to simply snap a picture of your W-2 and then watch your information appear in the right place in your tax return. You can be sure you're filing your taxes correctly while at the same time making sure you're getting the best possible refund. TurboTax. All people are tax people.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Dan Byrne. This is Federer and Nadal.
Nadal is a lefty. So was McEnroe. Like Connors and Rod Laver a long time ago. Nadal hits with topspin and swings with all his might. Nadal hits from the left side. Federer from the right.
Tremendous.
Federer is a throwback. Classical form. His backhand is one-handed. Two hands is now the norm. Nadal's topspin forehand for Federer is a nightmare. Nadal hits from the left side. Federer from the right.
Just so great. The Dan Byrne songs, the talking songs, are absolutely wonderful. Michael, if people like Dan Byrne want to send us their music, or you don't even have to be like Dan Byrne. You can be anybody who's sending in music that we would enjoy. How do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
All right. Now we're going to do news, and Nigel is not here, and Michael's going to do news in his absence. Michael, go.
Well, you put a lot of pressure on this newscast, but given Dan Byrne's song, we might as well start with the Australian Open.
I did not watch it.
You get up early, so did you watch?
While I was in Miami Beach... while I was in my fourth room, not in my first one, two, or three, but while I was in my fourth room, I would be up at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and the Australian Open was on, and I watched some of it. I did not watch the finals at all. What happened?
Well, we'll start with Sophia Kenin, American winner.
Did she win?
Her first Grand Slam.
Can I say this? When she got in, and we talked about this very briefly, because you're down to do the Super Bowl, and you're not only the Super Bowl, there's a hole in the narrative of this show that does not have the Kobe Bryant story. We were not here all week, and I'm not going to go over it and over it and over it. But as a result of that, I paid almost no attention to anything else that happened in sports all week. Almost no attention. When I learned that someone named Sophia Kenin had gotten to the finals, I said to whoever was there, "Who is she? Who is she? I've heard of Sloane Stephens. I've heard of some of the young American women. I don't know who she is." And she won it?
Comes back after losing the first 21. Set to win 6-2, 6-2 and sets 2-3. But the bigger story happens on the men's side. Get to the good news first. Djokovic wins his 8th Australian Open. Took almost 4 hours, but the real news was in the second set when he berates the official. I'll give you the full quote right here. I lost it, but basically, he attacks the official, he's gonna
was
face
it a McEnroe
probably
thing. Was it nasty or was it just
personal?
It was personal. Nasty. It was basically, hey, baby girl, you made yourself famous in this match.
Yeah, you're now
congrats.
History's gonna remember you.
History not, has its eyes on you.
History.
I'm not
has
a Djokovic fan. I always root for him to lose. I don't like him.
He doesn't seem pleasant. Michael, did you see the speech he gave afterward?
No, I did not.
It was like, this is what the world really needed, healing. I was like, I don't
really.
You're I just feel like, and it's just a tennis tournament. It feels like we're adding too much symbolism to this.
Okay.
I hope that this can bring healing to the world.
Now, you wanted to get to a few college basketball scores, correct? So we'll start with Georgetown.
Chris will be happy.
Big matchup, Georgetown St. John's. Salez, you want to go on this?
Yeah, thank you. Right? So it's classic matchup. Chris Mullen, Bill Weddington, Malik Sealy. Again, no. These are two mediocre teams. I got the news while at a indoor soccer practice for one of my kids that Mac McClung, one of the only two people on the team who can
score. Got an eye problem, right?
He has had an eye problem. He got poked in the eye, but this is a foot issue.
Oh, that's not good.
Did not play, which usually means we have a 0.0% chance of winning, but they came back from 17 down at St. John's, who is not very good, but they came back from 17 down at St. John's to win and preserve at least a chance at a little bit of a run in the Big East tournament. They're not a great team. They have six people who play in George Mirasan's son, who was never
Javon
meant
Blair,
to play.
Javon Blair, 23 yesterday.
Javon Blair starting in place of Mac McClung. It's a good win. Down 17 on the road against anybody. It's
next
a good
man
win.
Up.
And you also wanted to hear about Iowa, who was able to take down Illinois. We'll go straight to Luka Garza, local fan favorite. Iowa puts up 72. Luka Garza bounces back from a slow start and scores 25.
He has a chance to be the college player of the year. He has a chance. And he's a local kid who you taught when he was freshman.
I taught him, and this is great. We had an email from one of my former students, Max Canefield, who was playing mini hoop. Every school has one of these, just, you know, basically a backyard hoop. And he would, in between every single class, he was out there playing against anyone who would dare step on the court with them.
Okay, that's good.
He is averaging 23 points, 10.5 rebounds, 65% from the free throw line, 55% from the field.
Nice.
Pretty good.
He's a pretty good player.
By the way, he averaged 13 last year. He's a junior.
Yeah, he's a pretty
averaged
good
13
player.
Last year. He's having a really good year.
Go ahead.
Now, I feel like I'm Dave Johnson tossing myself as I say, we're going to head out to Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay.
I'm going to start not where you think I am, though. A man accused of stealing alcohol at the 2020 Waste Management had to then be rescued from a neighboring canal.
Wow.
Quinn Jameson, 20 years old, apparently stole maybe a beer. They don't name what it was, but he had to flee from event volunteers. Now, these are probably semi-retirees
my age.
Living out in Phoenix, their dreams. Didn't know what they got themselves into manning the 16th hole. Mm-hmm. He then jumps over a barbed wire fence into a canal.
That's risky.
And after swimming for 10 minutes, has to be rescued.
Oh, my God.
Wait, he swam for 10 minutes? Pretty good. Was he treading water? Or?
Arizona man.
Oh, yeah. Now we'll
jumping
get
over a barbed wire fence, bad for your future paternity.
No, I know. Yeah. I know everyone depends else watched this. With the same attention I did. This is a tournament that has actually figured out its role on the tour. It has figured out how to go against the Super Bowl and be a complimentary event even when the Super Bowl is not on the West Coast, when it's not in Phoenix. You had Tony Finau taking a one-shot lead into Sunday. You wondered, could he win for the first time since 2016? Coming off of a 62 on Saturday, you're thinking, this guy is going to take this to the finish line. No birdies on the front nine. He loses the lead to Webb Simpson. He has back-to-back birdies. I think it was 12 and 13. Looks like he has settled into the round. Par is a difficult 14th. Fails to get up and down on 15. Webb Simpson loses a ball in the water, and you think this
over.
Is it.
It's over.
Unfortunately for Tony Finau, Webb Simpson birdies 17 and 18. Force a playoff.
Webb Simpson on 18 had about an 18, 20-foot putt. Knocked it in.
Outside of
Tony Finau putted next with about an 8-foot putt and missed it. They go to a playoff. It's the only thing I watched was like these 10 minutes. And Webb Simpson does it again. He birdies 18 again, and he wins.
From a similar spot.
Yeah, the old saying is the first ball in usually wins. So in that weird way, his getting the first look at birdie and making it makes that putt from Finau, where it's a downhill left-to-right breaker, which is the harder putt for a righty, that much more difficult. And this comes after Tony Finau hit it 366 yards off of the tee.
Yeah.
How does that taste? His ball speed there is elite.
Longest drive of the week for
elite
anyone.
At even the tour level, and it goes against about everything you hear about golf, which is in a tight spot, go to a controlled, anything that you feel like you can get in the fairway. How about just bombing it 80 yards past your competitor?
The greatest thing about that tournament is you turn it on at any point, and it has something no other golf tournament has, which is a discernible din.
Yeah,
it's like
screaming.
It just doesn't
drunken
sounds like
bums.
A cocktail party. Even when they're not screaming, like coming up 18th, they're relatively quiet,
yeah, but
there is like,
bums.
But they're not quiet.
No, there is
there's a din, it's
and
hysterical.
Normally they step away to let Webb Simpson is one back trying to tie, and there is that din. And what's so great is Nance clearly just wants to get out.
Right.
He's basically tossing. Well, if you don't have anything else to watch tonight, you can watch NCIS, the local edition. It's in both ways. It's the best and worst case scenario because you know you have a hard out for the start of the Super Bowl, but you want to try and hold
you
on to any audience.
You gotta be out.
Do I got time for one more story?
Sure.
All right, we're going to go down to Florida. I know that you were down in Miami.
Miami Beach.
A little bit north. We're going to take you to Orlando. Orlando.
Yeah.
Mistakenly inserting a fuel nozzle into a fishing pole slot, a Florida man pumped $60 worth of gasoline onto the deck of his boat and the ground of a gas station, fire rescue's official said.
Oh, my God.
The incident happened Monday in the Orlando area. Not sure whether he was going to or from Disney World. The gas flowed from the fishing pole hole and onto the deck of the 24-foot boat. The 31-year-old man realized his mistake and quit pumping. What it does not say, was he going for the 87 or maybe going mid-grade or premium?
Friends died in a tragic gas fire.
Next
accident.
Year, the Super Bowl is in Tampa. And I was asked, do you think you'll go?
Yeah, that's a hard no.
And I said, no, I don't think I'll go.
Having been there for a convention, I can advise
no.
against that.
I said, I don't think so.
You got to stay in St. Pete. It's like 70 miles away.
You can go to Disney World in Orlando.
Still
I said, I've been to Disney World, and it's fine. But, you know, I can't really work in Orlando if the game is in Tampa. I can't really do that. And
now, you did promise that you would take my kids to Disney World after.
Passes.
Are ill-fated.
Pre-passes.
Yeah, you're in that mob.
So you can get through the fast line?
I can get in to Disney World for free. I don't know about
Here's
any other
the deal.
Question.
Michael,
you're
I can talk to you off air, but the situation with Disney World is for people of a certain value,
yet.
What you do or
a
certain worth,
take a
what you
photos.
Do, you pay a guide and it's not an insignificant amount of money. Disney provides them. You pay a guide, there's an 8-hour minimum. You pay them, you cut every single line right
so that's
to the
worth
front.
It.
It's a Solicit pass.
So we
that's
went.
You
and I
it.
Went. We played a lot of golf.
Yeah,
we had a nice time.
Good weather.
Did we not have a nice time?
We had a great time, except that you didn't rent a car. You refused to take the car out of the lot, so we had to. This was before Ubers, and it was inside the lot. It's not like you jump on the monorail. You're waiting for like a 1970s
bus.
Not even a bus, an old taxi cab to come pick you up outside of a golf course.
Dingy. It's dingy.
No, it just didn't arrive.
Tone, great picture tweeted out. I know you'll never see it, but great picture tweeted out by PTI. I've shown Gary. I'm showing Michael now. You getting in a car on
Jackie
what,
took
looks,
that
what
on the
looks
beach.
Like
that
to
looks
be
like
the beach.
No, it doesn't look like it to be the beach. Beach. It's the beach.
So confirming, it looks like to be the beach.
It's Miami Beach. The and water next to it's the Atlantic Ocean.
What concerns
That's
me
That's how they took us.
There's a guy opening
we have police
the
escorts.
Front door.
Yeah, and I.
But you're opening the back door yourself.
Yes.
Like a normal.
Yes.
For
yeah.
who?
And yeah, what's
we,
happening
we had
there?
To go
Why
about
is your hand on the door?
We had to go about a mile down the beach to the set at the Clevelander, which was not on the beach. You had to cross the street. We drove on the beach with police escorts.
Did
it was
you have
great hand, fun.
Like special tires?
No, these look like
Chevy
normal.
Chevy Suburban.
It's pretty packed.
It's a Tahoe
up there,
or a
yeah.
Suburban.
They're not like down.
Oh, no.
Right
it's you can walk on it and not even get sand in your shoes.
I mean,
it's that
got blocks
of the
and blocks of
and
tents
speaking
and stuff,
of your shoes, and I can recommend people go to the PTI Twitter feed.
Wearing saddle shoes.
You have some. Yeah, they're dark brown and light brown.
Yes.
And is that a linen jacket?
A linen pant?
You've got.
It's not linen. It's the white jacket. No, it's not linen. It's
Looks,
a Brooks Brothers jacket.
That's
not
a
linen.
Handsome look for
Thank you.
Yeah. Very strong.
Good looking man.
We'll get out of here, and we will have Old Guy Radio. When we return, we will talk about the commercials. We will talk at great length about the commercials because I took notes on every single commercial, and I have no idea what Wilbon is talking about when he says a New York Live commercial.
There was not one.
I didn't know that.
You've been yelling at us not to mention any of them.
He just goes on and on to say it's all junk and it's all hype, and it just means that he didn't watch any of them. That's all it means. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Simply Safe ad. Every night, local police departments across America receive hundreds of calls from burglar alarms. The vast majority of the time, they have no idea whether the alarm is real. Is there really a crime going on or not? All the alarm company can tell them is the motion sensor went off. Simply Safe Home Security is different. If there's a break-in, Simply Safe uses real video evidence to give police an eyewitness count of the crime. This means police dispatch up to 350 times faster than for a normal burglar alarm. You get comprehensive protection for your entire home. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. Entry motion and glass break sensors guard inside. Plus, Simply Safe protects your home from fires, water damage, and carbon monoxide poisoning. It's 24/7 monitoring by live security professionals. You can set up your system yourself. There are no tools needed. Or Simply Safe can do it for you, and it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. Visit simplysafe.com/Tony. You'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You've got nothing to lose. Go now and be sure you go to simplysafe.com/Tony. And Simply Safe is spelled S-I-M-P-L-I, simplysafe.com/Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
'Cause he gets up in the morning. These are the Kinks. They are the most underrated, underappreciated of all the great British groups. They're smarter than almost all. Not smarter than the Beatles, but they're smarter than
and
everybody else.
Dave and Ray Davies
hate each other.
Which is a great plot line.
So, this is well-respected man. This is, I believe, from 1965 or 1966. Love this song. Love all their songs.
So was it just like Malone to George, just in the Beatles' shadow? Is that what called, when you say like the most underrated and least respected?
Well, not least respected.
Not least respected, but most underrated.
Yeah, I mean, people don't realize how great they are. People don't realize how great the Zombies
great
were.
Songs.
Yeah, because the Beatles are
throwing shade at the same
Beatles
time.
Are that good. Yeah. The Beatles are that good. Why are we playing this? Did Nigel tell you?
Yeah, Dave Davies, 73 today.
Okay, hates his brother Ray.
Aged, Dave Davies, comma, 73.
Aged songwriter Dave Davies.
Hates him. Well, he didn't write this when he was
he
aged.
And he and Ray Davies do not speak, and that they
isn't this the same as John Fogerty and his brother from Creedence Clearwater Revival?
And they've floated the possibility
and
of a revival,
and
you know, of a and they
it.
Just refused. Like, there's not even there'd be money in it, obviously.
The Eagles did that originally, that's why they called their tour the Hell Freezes Over tour.
Well, remember that Lindsey Buckingham, they got back together and then they kicked Lindsey Buckingham off the Fleetwood Mac reunion tour. Yes,
yeah, speaking of Dave Davies, 73, very surprised to read last week the average life expectancy for an American child born this year?
Probably 90.
78.8.
Oh, I thought it'd be even higher.
Me too.
I thought it'd be.
And especially when you consider, like, when they're 50. Think of what medicine's going to do in the next 50 years. Yeah. That was weird, I think.
All right, let's get to the commercials.
Thanks, Obama.
This is, again, unlike Mike, I really pay attention to these. I sit down.
Yeah, they're all bad.
I grade them.
No, just a waste of time.
The Woolworths commercial was the only one worth anything.
My favorite was the FedEx.
When he says it's junk, I know that we're. All this means is that we're not going to be able to do this on the PTI show today.
Well,
like
you can
I
do it here,
to.
Tone. It's your show here.
The commercial that is going to be talked about the most is only because Tom Brady is involved in it, and there was the still photo that he tweeted out of him either walking out or walking into the stadium in Foxborough, and it turns out to be a Hulu ad, and the commercial's not much. But
the Hulu.
But everybody pays attention because it's Tom Brady. So we're going to move that to the side for a second, and I am going to say that there were a couple of commercials I saw that had particularly famous people in them that I thought were terrific, absolutely terrific. I thought the Bill Murray Groundhog Day thing for Jeep was tremendous. I just thought it was a great, great commercial. I thought that the one with higher production value and a lot more thought to it, and the Bill Murray one is great. The one with Ellen DeGeneres for Alexa.
Oh, yeah.
What did we do before there was Alexa? And it was just wonderful. And that must have cost millions of dollars to make. They went by, you know, various eras in history and gave somebody a name other than Alexa.
Alexa, turn it down a couple degrees in here.
I thought those were great. I checked off the ones that I thought were good. I thought that the T-Mobile one with Anthony Anderson and his mother was pretty good. You know, because he just
went on like 5
went
seconds
on too
long, but it was good.
It went on too long, but the idea of it was pretty good. And what it's you funny. Wanted him to do was take the phone, slam it down, and get rid of his mother. I thought that was pretty good. I thought there was one, a Toyota Highlander commercial, in which they are sort of rescuing people as they go along. I thought that was pretty good.
You're holding the best for last.
I'm holding the best for last.
Good.
I'm now going to give you three that I thought were the three best, even better than the Bill Murray one, because I didn't see this one coming at all. And one is the Doritos Cool Ranch ad with Sam Elliott as a cowboy.
And Lil Nas X.
Lil Nas X.
I had to find out who that was. Right, I knew he had to be a star. And they did a dance-off and then a thing with their horses.
Right.
And I just thought, God, this is so
great.
Good.
Yep.
Agreed.
It's just so good. He's the guy who sings with Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yes.
Right.
Yep. Old Town Road.
And Billy Ray Cyrus
shut up.
Cameo at the end.
Oh, see,
of that.
I don't.
He's
oh,
it's him playing the guitar. Go. I'm not dancing.
You know what's so funny about life? My kids immediately know Lil Nas X
and
have no idea who Sam Elliott is. It's
when they had Sam Elliott's mustache move.
Do the wave.
I just thought, come on, this is great. My second favorite one, and this will be more controversial. My second favorite one was the Google ad for the dead wife and the husband with Alzheimer's. I was taken by it. I thought it was done with such good taste, and it left you wondering, and I just thought, my God, this is a good, smart ad.
I will agree with you.
It rips your heart
on the effectiveness of the ad.
You remember,
but like, I don't need to, I don't need Alexa show me pictures of my dead spouse. I don't need that. It's like maybe I'm just maybe I'm a snowflake or too fragile emotionally. But it was just too heavy for me. I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't good. It was good. I appreciated it. It was super effective. But I was just like, oh man, that's
how about in your house? How'd that play in your house?
I'm watching with my wife and my two kids, and I'm watching it, and I see it come on, and I pick up the theme of it.
Get
and
your
my
Kleenex
wife is
ready.
My wife is sitting behind me, and I know my wife. If there are old people in any way, shape, or form, she will weep. So my kids are like, this is, I don't get it. I look over. Waterworks. There was also one other one that had old folks like laying in a bed next to one another, holding hands. It was I didn't know.
That was creepy.
It was the Four Types of Love.
Yeah.
Yes, the Four Types of Love.
That was too creepy for me.
Waterworks.
I didn't like that one.
Yeah, no, too much for me. And I think it
what
was,
did you think of the Google ad?
It's maybe where we are in our life. We had just put the boys to bed, and you're just watching your life fast forward. And it was too much.
It's like watching the beginning of Up.
Okay. I'm not going in that direction.
No, it's my life. It's my life. It's next for me. So it had a tremendous effect on me. For me, the best commercial.
That's because you're right.
But the best commercial, and it was for a car. I don't even know what
Hyundai,
kind of car it was.
Hyundai.
It didn't even matter. It was the people with the Boston accents.
Smart
right
pie.
Out of the movie The Town.
Brilliant.
And they're going back and forth about self-pock. They didn't even say Pac.
They
can't
have it yet. Spot.
It was just such a great commercial, and I'm stunned that in looking at the reviews today, I don't think that anybody loved it. That was the best one.
To be fair, you have to pair that commercial with an older SNL sketch, the Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay, I don't even know that.
Oh, with Joaquin Phoenix, you know it.
I know it.
He's like the ultimate Boston guy.
It's not Joaquin Phoenix. It's Casey Affleck.
I was confused.
Oh, Casey Affleck. Duncan. Okay.
He is like your classic New England guy.
I got a coupon.
He's got like a beat up Boston Bruins hat. He's smoking with the window open, with the door open.
I'm not smoking inside.
Favorite thing, vanilla nut caps.
Oh,
cut your nails, Donnie.
it's
so good. We'll show it to you. It's Michael's right. You can't watch that ad and not.
It was
think
derivative.
Of the case.
It was derivative.
It felt like an early 2000s SNL sketch.
I didn't even know that and loved that commercial. Absolutely
and
loved
that. A good
that
use
commercial.
Of Big Poppy.
Big Poppy's in it.
Can we run through?
Happy.
Can we run through a few others? I'm just interested.
Yeah, I will also
thought.
Tell you the most disappointing one. Two things were tremendously disappointing to me. There was no Clydesdale ad. There's always
no, but,
a Clydesdale
but Budweiser's
ad.
Typical Americans ad, I thought
wasn't
was kind of funny.
It was okay. It wasn't
See,
as
I,
good as
I
a
found
Clydesdale.
The timing of the Bud stuff was interesting because they went heavy late into the game.
Yeah.
They didn't go
Two
as deep
warning,
into the Bud Light seltzer as I thought
I
they would.
And the Bud Light seltzer one was
Oddly enough, it feels like...
Do you know who that guy is?
No.
The guy with the face tattoos?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, oh gosh.
I mean, I just wondered. He's a rapper. I don't know
who he is.
His name is Post Malone. I just didn't know if you know.
It felt like there were more larger brands
not related
that own everything, and they're basically
Procter and Gamble,
right? So P&G, they're showing all their brands inside.
I didn't like the Tide ads,
but the Tide had everything in it.
I didn't like it.
Let me ask you about this ad because you did not mention it.
It had Bud Light in it. I didn't like it.
And I'm inclined to like this couple. They strike me as not
like
them too
seriously. I like the Cheetos.
But how about the Genesis Young Luxury with John
Chrissy
Legend
Teigen.
And Chrissy Teigen?
Yeah.
What's the magic word? Sexiest man alive.
I did like that bit.
Here's how I felt about that. I liked it. I was surprised that Genesis had a luxury car like that.
Yeah.
I liked it, but I thought it tried too hard.
Yeah,
I thought it was trying too
hard.
Set
up up front.
What yeah. See, I think that commercial, you have to know them through social media to appreciate
and
it.
And this
I
don't. Is to that yeah. point. What did you think of the Planters ad?
Didn't like
baby
it.
Baby peanut?
Did you get it?
No, why
oh,
did they, why did they
Mr.
kill
Mr. Peanut?
Why
thing?
Did they do that and bring a baby peanut in? Why
it was
did
just
they...
a big con. They said they were killing
they
off Mr.
Two weeks
peanut.
Ago.
Again, this is like a whole... It is fascinating the extent to which it is meant to be a continuation of... social media. I mean, like, if you don't know Chrissy Teigen, I mean, she's obviously famous, but she's a huge social media person, as is John Legend, and their whole bit, and then that, you know, there's a lot of stuff that if you're not aware of the social media world, some of it would be a little lost on you.
Well, all these ads have 2.5-minute versions online.
What
and
ads?
You can't see the
extended... Well, I've never seen any of them. What ads didn't you like? I didn't like the
Rick and Morty ad. That was the one for Pringles.
I didn't like that.
I didn't.
Did nothing for me. The thing with Rob Riggle and Bounty, I didn't like that.
I was
that.
Super confused by Maisie Williams for Audi singing Let It Go.
Yeah, Arya Stark.
That was
Arya
weird.
Stark, the girl with the short hair.
Don't know who it is.
I didn't like the Jonah Hill Scorsese
ad. Didn't like
ad.
It at all.
That was a little flat for me.
Didn't like it at all. Well, I didn't even understand what
it was. I was surprised by the soda stream. The you know when it ends with the Mars water, I don't know why, but I was laughing.
Oh, they drank the water from Mars.
Did you like the Jason Momoa ad where he's actually? It was kind of creepy. Where he's actually like a skinny guy. He's not like a ripped monster.
Pick it up.
I didn't understand it. I mean, I don't. I'm not.
Yeah, he's like an Adonis.
I'm not of this world.
He's an Adonis,
right?
And he's not.
The Sabra hummus ad. How I must.
Didn't like it at all.
Yeah, that was a little out there.
Didn't like it at all. There were others
The
that
ad was Sofia Vergara. What was that for?
Yeah.
Was that the Rob
didn't
Riggle
like
ad?
That, yes.
That
didn't
was.
Like that at all.
That was the Procter & Gamble
Why
was Troy Polamalu in that ad? Did you notice Troy Polamalu was sitting next to Sofia Vergara?
Because he does Head & Shoulders, I think, which is
so
a P&G
just,
deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like that. Yeah. I didn't like the Bud Seltzer ad. I didn't.
Just
I didn't
wait
like
till
that.
You try their strawberry flavor.
How about the Facebook?
Does it taste like beer?
How about the Facebook? No. I want to rock with Balboa and Chris Rock at the
end. That wasn't bad.
Not Balboa. Still,
it was okay. But the Boston ad was wonderful.
What'd you make of the? Do we have time to talk halftime show?
Yeah, you can.
You want to do it now?
Yeah. I'm too old. I'm too old for the halftime. I could see that Shakira has talent.
Shakira, do you know who she's married to? Famous athlete.
No, don't know.
Gerard Piqué, right back for the Barcelona.
No, didn't know that.
I called him the Barcelona.
I'm sort of confused as to what Jennifer Lopez does, as to what her talent is. I thought
dancer.
It was I was again. I'm gonna. This is about my age and those things which I value or don't value. I was sort of surprised that it was as sexy. To use that word.
Yeah.
Sexy as it was. I thought that the NFL ran away from that stuff ever since Janet Jackson a long time ago. So I was surprised at that. You know. So, did you?
I can't
I
disagree
watch
with that
your,
assessment.
Did you watch it with your boys?
Yeah, boys
Any
and
commentary? Because they're older.
Yeah, I mean, my kids, boys and girls, see that stuff all the time. Yeah. I think it's just the fact that we were taken aback.
You and Kim were taken aback a little bit?
Just like, man, they're like just pole
dancing.
Shaking their booties
pole dancing.
Yeah, I'm like,
my 10-year-old, it felt like he didn't say anything, but I was like, and this is the flowering of his sexuality. wait, that's girls? Did you see Giannis's tweet?
No.
This is a great...
I mean, I don't see any
Giannis,
tweets.
Oh, you don't see
I
tweets.
I don't tweet.
Giannis tweeted right after, halftime show almost got me in trouble. Crying emoji.
I mean, I will say this. We all remember the end of the Janet Jackson thing.
Right.
But if you went back and looked at the song and dance. I mean, it's nothing compared to that.
Yeah, this was pretty, as we would say at my age, this is pretty bump and grind. I was surprised.
But I grew up watching the music videos of Shakira and J-Lo and seeing them do the red carpet, walks. So I really wasn't surprised by the dancing because that is the brand of Shakira, and that is how J-Lo dances. I wasn't taken back by the costuming either. I only had issue with some of the way that they produced the overall shot. Because we were talking to Gary before the show. Everything is down to the split second.
Oh, sure.
They know exactly where the dancer's going to be. They know exactly where the camera, what they're looking for.
They had that drone shot from above.
And that was like, look at what we can get away with and then cut away so that we're not going to go over any lines.
Very suggestively cut. That's a good point.
All righty. Those are the commercials, all of which Wilbon hated.
By the way, one other thing about that stuff that was kind of cool to me was the choreography, in the sense of like they used masses of people to like quickly build sort of pyramids and these things.
When she is on that pole thing, when J-Lo comes out and there's like that mass of bodies and they're just like propelling people up, that was cool.
All right. We have some email when we return and jingle. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your email, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag. Gonna read some for all you folks.
Thank you, Gary. This is the end of the show read, which means I need to thank Michael Wilbon for coming on. I also need to thank today's sponsors, TurboTax, Calm.com, and Simply Safe. Don't forget that you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Radio.com. If you get the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. I hope people don't think that the show ended, that they know it would come back. I hope we put
there was a lot of clamoring on the internet before
John
this
Myers
show.
Reached out to want to know what happened. Wouldn't want to check on your health. I said, no, he's just in Miami.
From David, is Nigel having trouble setting up the board? Haven't heard anything since the Wet Blanket podcast or whatever. Come on, man.
Wet Blanket.
From Sam, I was wondering if you've stopped the podcast. The last show I received and heard was last Thursday on the Weighted Blanket. Hope everyone is okay. this is what I feared, that people would think we just went away.
They're never coming back.
This is why you need to subscribe to the show, because when there is one, it will be pushed to you.
From Catherine Fahey in Chicago, Illinois, I'm sure that many of your listeners are asking what you thought about the 0220-2020 palindrome that occurred yesterday. But I'm more interested in what you were doing the last time a palindrome so unique occurred on 11-11-1111.
900
was Ed's Tropical Aquarium on Sunrise Highway at that time.
By the way, it was Andy Reid's 222nd victory on 0202-2020.
The palindrome that is the same in any language everywhere in the world.
Worldwide.
Yep.
Yeah. Dean Michael Lamb, while waiting in security line for last night's Pelicans Zion Palooza game, there was a couple behind me whose conversation escalated into bickering. As they got louder, I deduced the argument was certainly not a normal one. Her, what's next weekend? Can we go to the ranch? Him, I'm going to the Super Bowl. What? Why do you have to go to the Super Bowl? You know I have to. I'm expected to be there and be seen by important people. You're ridiculous. No one cares if you're there. No one. It's at this point that I have to see who's behind me having this 1%er conversation. Who is it? No other than native son James Carville, decked out in full LSU purple and gold, including Joe Burrow sweatshirt and Mary Madeline. At this point, it was my turn to get through the metal detector, and I'd miss my chance to graciously offer to go in James' stead or to thank him for giving my alma mater, Tulane University, some press with multiple picks this year. It's his weekly call into the show. Maybe next time. Always exciting to see a big in the wild. On a different note, full subscribe to the Weighted Blanket Regimen. Mm. Science or not, sleeping under one of those bad boys is well worth the expense. Surprised Salid didn't say he'd be getting the heaviest one just to be able to say, that's nothing, I work out. Not sure if we're still doing this. Riley Chesapeake Bay Retriever Mix, 55 pounds. Willie Yui, West Lynn, Oregon. I know you like number patterns, but did you see that Andy Reid won his 222nd game on 0202-2020? He also had two timeouts left because that's how Andy rolls. From Matthew Petterkin in King George, Virginia. Your attitude towards people parking on your street is well taken. You should thank your lucky stars you don't live in the country. Shortly after listening to your rant about parking on the street, I walked out to get the mail. There was a pickup truck I did not recognize parked in my long driveway just off the road, and the driver was standing next to it. As I approached, the driver got back in, backed out of the driveway. Then he stopped, rolled down his window, and shouted at me, I just needed to stop to take a leak. Wow. What could I say? This being hunting season in the country, there's a good chance he was armed. I certainly was not. I simply waved and watched him drive off. Scott Lambrecht, HOF, member of Minnesota Music Hall of Fame in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. I'm catching up on the pod, but I wanted to present an alternate Saliza Starbucks order theory. I think the botched order was intended for Saliza, and what he mistook for Lucy written on the side of the cup was just a sloppy written Lacey, an obvious playful reference of lace.
Yeah, sure.
Sam Weitzman, Columbia Law School. I have a faint memory of a story you once told about the Super Bowl. I don't remember the exact details. What I do recall is that it involved an editor trying to get reporters into the locker rooms during halftime. The punchline was, tell him it's the New York Times. Am I entirely imagining this anecdote, or is this true? If so, would you mind retelling it in honor of the game this weekend? It's absolutely true. It was the beginning of Sports Monday in 1976 at the New York Times. And Arthur Gelb was the assistant managing editor, and he called up Gordon S. White, Gordy White, who was there at halftime of the game. Craig Morton had been so terrible in the first half, and we had pointed this out to Arthur, who didn't know a football from a salami. And Arthur said, get Gordy on the phone. He gets him on the phone. He says, go in there and find out why he's so bad. Tell him it's the New York Times. Great. Amber and I were
watching. You know who I am?
Just tremendous. John Fenn in New Rochelle, New York. Given your obsession with numbers and palindromes, Super Bowl Sunday, besides being Groundhog Day, is 0202, 2020, 2020 under the 8-character format popular on many U.S. forms. Won't happen again for another 100 years. Call your mother. From Alex Baldonado, not only was it Super Bowl Sunday, February 2nd, it was always Groundhog Day. I'm kidding. While I enjoy the Groundhog Festival, this is all these things. It's all about 0202, 2020,
people know you.
Which is called the calendrical trifecta. Which is very interesting. And from Steve the Sycophant, while watching last Thursday's PTI, I was shocked to see a man in the background of spectators who looked exactly like Bruce Allen. Is it possible he was there looking for work? Or maybe he wanted a guest on PTI. Anyway, welcome back, and get plenty of makeup for PTI. That no makeup outside look ain't working. Thank you, Steve the Sycophant.
Ouch.
We had plenty of makeup. We had plenty of everything. Except, well, my fourth room was good. I'm Tony Kornheiser. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
You know, they all get involved, and they all got their gear already, and so they're going to be all colored up in the maroon and black and yellow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be careful how you paraphrase my name. You try to compliment, but just the same. It conjures up the search for pirate spoils. The name is not for lightweight olive oils. With what we have, it's worth the wait. We can put up the pearly gates. My name used to be. My name is how I wish you knew me best. It separates me from all of the rest. Be certain that your heart's up to the test, or you'll be dead with all the Navy's best. The armor cheap involves the search for a flame. Why I'm blessed with such a cherished name. I look to me to see who I am. I look to you so I understand. My name used to be wrong. It always seemed to
Nadal is a lefty, so was McEnroe, like Connors and Rod Laver a long time ago. Nadal hits with topspin and swings with all his might. Nadal hits from the left side, Federer from the right. Federer is a throwback, classical form. His backhand is one-handed, two hands is now the norm. Nadal's topspin forehand for Federer is a nightmare. Nadal hits from the left side, Federer from the right. Now Federer, he's classy with his perfect hair and sweater, but if his backhand was two-handed, maybe he'd do better. Why does Roger lose to Rafa? Well, just take a gander. Nadal hits loopy forehands to Federer's one-hander. When Roger wins, he says, it's a great feeling. When he loses, Roger cries. When Rafa wins, he says, I am very happy, and kisses his prize. Djokovic and Murray are sure to bring a fight. Nadal hits from the left side, Federer from the right. Nadal hits from the left side, Federer from the right.